The AP is reporting that the Trump administration is preparing to offer billions of dollars in aid to farmers suffering because of tariffs. Tariffs that countries like China are putting on their goods in response to new U.S. tariffs on foreign imports. The U.S. has already slapped tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese products, with billions more on the way. And President Trump says he wants to go even further. In an interview with CNBC last Friday, he threatened to eventually slap tariffs on all Chinese goods imported into the U.S. That would amount to more than $500 billion.
I'm doing this to do the right thing for our country. We have been ripped off by China for a long time. And I told that to President Xi. I said, how did this ever happen?
Joining us now is NPR's Anthony Kuhn. He's in Beijing. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Jeremy.
And how much are these tariffs already hurting China?
Actually, the economic impact from the tariffs has not been that obvious here. But interestingly, it's the political fallout, which is the subject of very intense debate here at the moment. And President Xi Jinping's critics say that he made a real strategic blunder by getting into this trade war in the first place with the U.S., and essentially they say he's bitten off more than he could chew. Hmm. Now, for the past 40 years, you know, the lesson China drew from the fall of the Soviet Union was don't get into an arms race or any sort of showdown with the U.S. before you're ready. Bide your time until you're strong enough. But Xi Jinping has been saying that China is now strong enough and the U.S. is in decline. But the trade war has made it clear that China is actually still quite dependent on the U.S., for example, in technology. And so Xi's critics are saying he sort of drank his own Kool-Aid and fell for his own propaganda. And as a result, they've now had to turn that propaganda down.
We're also reading that China is kind of underreporting the effects of the tariffs in their own press at the moment, trying to play down how big of a deal this trade war is.
That's right. They're trying to play down the impact of it. They've also told the domestic media not to make personal attacks on Trump so as not to make things worse any worse than they already are. I think because of this debate now that they've bitten off more than they can chew, they're trying not to escalate. They're trying to keep face by, you know, giving tit for tat, but not escalating it if they can possibly help it.
We've spent a lot of the last week talking about President Trump's meeting in Helsinki with Vladimir Putin, the Russian president. A lot of critics have said that the president, President Trump, appeared weak in that meeting. How did Beijing view that?
It's really interesting, Jeremy, that there has been deafening silence about this whole Helsinki episode. Partly it's because the impact on China is not direct. But also, you know, they know very well Trump's style of personalistic diplomacy, such as sitting with political strongmen in these closed-door one-on-one meetings in sort of high-stake poker games. They've seen it happen between Trump and Kim Jong-un in Singapore and to a lesser extent with Xi Jinping as well. The other thing is that I think a lot of U.S. watchers in China are very much aware that there is now a crescendo of voices in the U.S. saying that China has been doing similar sorts of things in the U.S., engaged in political influence operations, and it's time that China shared some of the spotlight with Russia. Actually, what China is doing in the U.S. is a little bit different. It's just trying to amp up voices that are friendly to it while deflecting criticism. But I think because of this crescendo of voices, China is not eager to raise the election issue or the Helsinki issue.
We've also heard people like President Trump's former advisor, Steve Bannon, say that the whole point of President Trump's warming relationship with Russia was to unite the West. Those are his words, unite the West against the rise of a totalitarian China.
Yeah, that's a little bit odd. If he wants to get chummy with Putin, I think Xi has stolen a march on him. The relationship between Xi and Putin is incredibly tight. Mm. Those two have met 26 times, 5 times in the last year. Xi Jinping calls Putin his best and most intimate friend. Putin, in an interview with Chinese media, said that Xi Jinping is the only guy who has shared kielbasa sausages and vodka with him on his birthday. So that's special. But, you know, ultimately, I think what's actually more important important is the way the two countries have coordinated their foreign policy, such as in the United Nations, where they have both shielded other authoritarian states, such as Syria and North Korea and Iran, from Western criticism and sanctions. So I think it's going to be a very tall order for President Trump to pry away Vladimir Putin from Xi Jinping.
Does China see itself as a superpower right now, the way the U.S. sees itself as a superpower?
No, it doesn't use that term. It sees superpower as a sort of loaded label. It wants to distinguish itself from both the U.S. and the former Soviet Union. What Xi Jinping says is that China is a strong power. It's resurgent after a low period, and it's on its way once again to becoming the premier regional power in Asia. And he also sees China as a model for other countries to follow, to be independent of foreign domination, as he puts it. And it shows up in, for example, the way they manage the internet with censorship and with, their propaganda policy. And I think that's why critics accuse it of trying to export some sort of illiberal new order.
It's NPR's Anthony Kuhn joining us from Beijing. Anthony, always great to talk to you. Thank you.
You too, Jeremy. Thanks.